The Junior Springboks recently finished a disappointing third in the Under-20 Rugby Championship. Many reasons were given for their underwhelming performances. One of those was the gap between what happens at schoolboy and Under-20 level. Today, you are going to get a front row seat as I delve deep into this topic and try to figure out how true it is. And perhaps, more importantly, if we can fix this. So to be sure, South Africa has a world-class school system. Anyone who knows anything will tell you about our famous schools and the great players that have emerged from these places of education. In many cases, there is more pride in representing a school than a club or even a province or franchise. Former Cheetahs and Griquas centre Ronnie Cook, who is a player agent these days, says schools rugby in South Africa is a 1 billion rand industry. Cook wrote a great piece on LinkedIn where he says it's the reason South African rugby continues to sit at the top table of world rugby. In comparison to New Zealand's academies, Cook says our system is far more powerful. Now, whatever you might think of our country's sporting systems, the fact of the matter is that we have powerful schools when it comes to sport. Former Bafana Bafana defender Matthew Booth has even said the reason rugby and cricket are so competitive internationally is because of our school system. Football doesn't really have that. It's more of a club system that produces players. So in that sense, it's wonderful that we have this machine called schoolboy rugby. Readily, one thinks of Paarl Gymnasium, Paarl Boys High, Grey College, Uffies, Paul Roos, and of course, there are many, many more. I had to start with the Paarl schools because if you didn't know this, and I don't think I've actually shared this with you guys ever before, I began my career in broadcasting at a community radio station in Paarl. If you're from Paarl or you've been to Paarl and you've happened to listen, the radio station's name is Radio KC. Now, schoolboy rugby is also incredibly well supported, not just by students, or learners as they are officially called in South Africa, but also by the local communities, and perhaps most significantly, an old boys network. There is genuine pride in men in their 50s and 60s when it comes to the school they attended, provided it's one of these schools, of course. And that is what makes schoolboy rugby in South Africa a real business. According to Cook, South Africa's top 200 schools collectively spend over 1 billion rand per year on their rugby programs. This includes elite coaching, specialist conditioning, high-performance gym facilities, and even full-time analysts, nutritionists, and psychologists. It's a proper business, isn't it? Some of the salaries rival what some of the provincial unions are paying. A top school coach can earn more than 1 million rand per annum. And when you throw all of this in, you don't just need an old boys network to make it work. The corporates are coming to you. Now look, there are a few other questions worth asking. For example, should boys that young be pushed the way they are? Does an under 14 player really require a conditioning coach and a data analyst? It's a fair question. Conventional wisdom says youngsters should play as many sports as they possibly can for as long as they can. Only then should you specialize. I take, for example, Roger Federer, one of the greatest tennis players of all time. Many people will still tell you that in their view, he is the greatest of all time. He only started specializing in tennis after the age of 15. Before that, he played all the other sports that were available to him. So with that in mind, that informs my personal opinion that I don't think an under 14 kid should be specializing in rugby. He should be playing cricket or tennis or whatever the case may be as well. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love rugby. It doesn't mean that he doesn't think that he could make a career out of rugby. It doesn't mean that he doesn't think that rugby is the sport that he's going to be best at going forward. It just means he should be playing other sports as well. I'm going to give you another example of a player who specialized in a sport to the point where it was almost embarrassing when he was playing a different sport in training with his teammates. You might remember, if you're a cricket fan, Sri Lanka had a spin bowler named Rengana Harath. Rengana Harath had specialized in cricket from such a young age that he had no alternative or additional or supplementary sporting skills. Now, one of the things that the Sri Lankan cricketers did when they were warming up before a match began or before the day's play started, they would play football with each other, just kicking the ball around among one another. Rengana Harath had zero football skills. He was unable to actually kick the ball with any kind of competence to his teammates. And they laughed at him. They thought it was hilarious. Lucky for him, he was a very, very effective bowler for his country. So I think that that excused his inability and his incompetence when it came to playing any other sport with his teammates in training. Now, what I'm saying here is it really should, at under 14 level, right? It really should just be about enjoyment. I think by the time the boy gets to matric, then the situation has changed. And I think by then, a really good player will have a fair idea as to whether he has what it takes to play professionally. A brilliant time, Blake de Kock. Not necessarily Springboks, but you could be in matric and say, hey, you know what, I think I can get into Boerland. I think I can get into Border. I think I can get into the Leopards. And then take it from there.
Try's been scored.
Now what happens to these boys once they matriculate? This is an important question. Many of them indeed sign for the Stormers, the Bulls, the Sharks. And in some cases, they move on and play for Marties and UCT in the Varsity Cup. And in other instances, they never play rugby again. But we're talking about the ones who do. So to that end, shouldn't they still be part of the SARU system and be eligible for the Junior Springboks? In theory, yes. But you need to remember that it's not just the boys from these top schools that will be eligible for Junior Springbok selection. There are players from other less fashionable schools that have been spotted by scouts and brought into the system at the provincial unions. Less fashionable schools? Well, I went to a less fashionable school, but we're not going to talk about that. As far as I'm aware, no one that went to the school that I went to has ever become a Springbok or represented their country, our country, at any level. Nevertheless, you must also remember, when it comes time for junior box selection, in theory, we should be talking about the cream of the crop from the last 2 years of schoolboy rugby. But I get the sense the junior rugby they're playing for their provinces might not actually be adequate. Further to that, and not necessarily in terms of quality, in terms of the vision that the franchise has for what boys are doing at that level. They're not thinking junior box, they're thinking their own senior team. So what also happens is those youngsters might not be getting the game time that they need to tackle an under 20 international competition. Why? Well, because a 19-year-old boy is probably fifth or sixth in line at his province. Don't forget that at the Junior Springboks, the player might also be asked to play a different role. That could take getting used to. I don't mind a player struggling to adapt at 19 or 20, so that when he's 25, it's not a problem anymore. And then it's also worth noting that some of these boys may indeed be good enough for Junior Springbok selection, but because they're involved with their provinces or franchises in a SA Cup or URC, they're unavailable. They could also be preparing for university exams or studying, or maybe even decided to only play during the Varsity Cup. These are all fair and valid reasons. I do think it would help SARU to try and keep the players inside a net of some sort. I actually believe that's part of what they're trying to do in any case. Dr. Russi Rasmus has spoken previously about identifying potential Springboks at 15 or even younger and then going on a journey with them. I do know there was a program in place to that end that was paused during COVID, and it only came back last year. So it might take a few seasons for us to see the fruits of that, but at least it is back. and the current junior Springboks have been given more training camps than any previous squad. They've also brought in Johan Ackermann as a consultant to assist. So I think they are on the right track. Do I think we'll win the Under-20 World Championship in July in Italy? No, I don't. But I'm satisfied that something is being done about helping our boys. And with our behemoth of a schoolboy system, I'm not worried at all about the future of the Springboks. But what do you think? Let me know in the comments section down below. If you want great benefits like Springbok merchandise, match day tickets, Zoom Q&As with me, or you'd like me to write an ebook for you on your favorite player, why not head on over to my Patreon page and sign up? It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Zimbabwean. The reason I want your support is because I would love to do this full time, and I would also love to go to Australia and cover the Rugby World Cup for you in 2027 with daily content from Down Under. So if you're keen to join my dream team and support me, the link is in the description area below. In advance, thank you for your support, and I'll see you next time.